We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Father, we do pray against the oppressions of this world, against the things that come against our people. Lord, we pray for the remaining of this service that your word would begin to set people free. We pray, Lord, for Pastor Ray and Giselle as they're on vacation. Lord, just let them be revived and rejuvenated, Lord, and let them come back with new vigor. And Lord, just thank you. Thank you for the sensitivity of the worship team, and thank you for all that are here. May your grace and your mercy be poured out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, worship team. I was going to go to announcements, but I think we're going to go right into the message. I think that's where the Lord's leading us. Let me switch mics to do that. Every day, we sing things and we do things in our services, but sometimes it should challenge us. How desperate are we for him? Because the reality is in society and where people are, there's a lot of people that are spiritually stuck. And they're always looking for help. Some people's lives look like this picture right here. They're standing on the outside of the train wreck of their life and they're looking at it going, it's stuck. I don't know what to do. You can barely see it, but there's a guy on the right side. How many of us have friends that are always on the fringe when we're having problems? They're like, I don't know, dude, but I'm texting some help. I'm going to get somebody here to help you. Right? So our lives and a lot of people's lives look like this. That car could represent spiritual walks in their spiritual life. And people sometimes step outside of their spiritual life and go, I don't know. I don't know why I can't grow. I don't know why God doesn't hear me. I don't know why God doesn't talk to me. I don't know why I don't love the way that I should love. I don't know why I do things that I shouldn't do. When we look at Romans 7, this is really where a lot of people can become spiritually stuck. Romans 7, 15. I do not understand what I do, for what I do, I do not do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. How many of us do things in our life that we hate? Yeah. How many of us we get stuck in this pattern, or in a situation, or in a problem, and we never grow beyond that. There are times when we see people that have been believers for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're stuck like little toddlers right where they're at. And they respond and react like toddlers. Not in this church, because you guys are all spiritually mature. We love you guys. So I'm just saying, though, sometimes people are stuck in a moment that the Lord had given them. You know, they got saved. That's all I needed to do. I got saved. That's it. We're good. But there's more to life than just getting saved. There's more to your Christian walk than just getting saved. Sometimes people lost control, right? We've prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. So God must not like me. God doesn't care about my prayers. Sometimes we can't control situations, folks. Sometimes people think God is angry with them, so they become spiritually stuck for that. God hates me because didn't answer my prayer, my life situations are horrible. Well, maybe you've made really bad decisions, but we won't talk about those. You know, we like to blame God. Sometimes we have open and blatant sin in our life. And when we have open and blatant sin in our life, it's very, very hard for us to hear the things of God or to experience the things of God. Sometimes we grieve a loss. You know, unfortunately, 100% of us will pass away someday, whether we like that, at least from this world, not the afterworld, not the world with Christ. But in this world, we all pass away sooner or later. And there are people that grieve that. They've prayed, God, please don't take this person. And they become spiritually stuck because they don't believe God listens. Sometimes there's mental health issues. Sometimes people have hurts and bad things have happened to people. It's hard to believe, right? Bad things happen to people, but they do. Every day. So how do we take all of the garbage that the world throws at us, that the enemy throws at us, that life throws at us, and how do we keep from being spiritually stuck? Ultimately, our life as believers doesn't stop at salvation. It's just beginning. It's just the beginning. And you need to grow and grow and grow. Pastors have sometimes been placed all of these responsibilities by congregation, but we're all heirs to the throne, right? So sometimes people will look at the pastor, well, that's the pastor's job to pray. It's the pastor's job to cast out the demon. It's the pastor's job to come against the situation. Sometimes it's not. It's us as believers. We are the body of Christ. So, our heart. When I talk of the heart, I'm talking our emotions, our mind, our spirituality. Everything that makes up who you are is generally the concept of the heart that the Bible talks about. Your heart is the absolute, one of the absolute keys to where you will go in your faith walk. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, search my mind. God, search my emotions. God, search my spirit. God, search my motives. God, search my thoughts. Has anyone ever prayed that? Probably not. When you start asking God to search the inner parts of who you are, that person that you are right now may not be the person that God wanted you to be. Because we always grow, we always mature. And so when we have an attitude of God or attitude toward God for Him and be willing for Him to search every aspect of us to make sure that our lives, our mind, our emotions, and all of that line up scripturally with what He's taught us, you can have change. You can have breakthrough. There's a lot of people in the world who have stinking spiritual thoughts. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. We're watching New Age movements start coming into the church. Have you guys seen that? Where we can have a service and a seance at the same time. I don't think that works like that. So searching, letting God search your heart, letting God search who you are, letting God search every part of you is something that will change you. I promise you that. Because when you do that, we go to our next step, which is we trust God to uncover the sins of our lives and to seek forgiveness. Anybody have sins? Anybody have secret sins? Don't raise your hand. If you have secret sins in your life, if you have sin in your life and you have never sought God's forgiveness, then those things will keep you spiritually stuck. They will hold you back from the fullness that God has for you. Psalm 19, 12 through 14. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent in thy transgressions. The psalmist even knew that we have hidden faults. We have hidden sin. We have things about us that we need to bring to God. And those are the things you do need to bring to him. You want to be free in life? You want to be desperate for God? Let the things go that hold you back. Those are the things that will change you. If we go down to verse 14 as well, it says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. See, the truth is, when we are vulnerable to God, God can move mountains in our life. When we are vulnerable to our faults, when we are vulnerable to our sins, God is just to take care of them. And he brings a redemption to us. And when we're redeemed, we have value again. What is spiritually stuck truly about? It's about not having value in the kingdom. See, when you have value in the kingdom, you exercise your value. At least I hope you will. It also allows us to focus on God's grace. Every one of us needs God's grace. Every one of us should seek God's grace and God's forgiveness for things that we've done. But to get there, we do need a time of meditation. I'm not talking the crossing your legs and going om om on a yoga mat. But what I'm talking about is when you read scripture, do you read it like a book or do you absorb it? Do you read it? Do you think about it? Do you meditate on it? Okay, God, what did you mean by this? What did you mean by that? Oh, okay. Are you asking him questions? Are you taking it into the inner part of who you are, deep inside of you? Because that will help change you and help you become freed from being stuck. When we allow ourselves to let God be the rock, we're redeemed, and we're meditating on God's word, it also will provide you direction. I promise you, folks, if you honestly and sincerely go into meditation and you go into prayer, God will give you a direction. It may not be the direction you want to go. See, we often go to God and we say, hey, God, I want to do this. And God says, no, well, that's not the answer I wanted. So I go to pray, we pray again. That's not the answer I wanted. We go to him and he says, no, and that's not the answer we wanted. We so often go to God and we keep asking him for the same thing, and then he gives it to us, right? And then when we get it, we're like, God, why did you do this? You ask for it 25 or 30 times or 40 times, whatever it is, and then on the other side of it, we look at God and we go, I can't believe you would let me do that. You knew me better than that. And then we're doing the whole Adam and Eve sin and we're pointing fingers and saying, you know, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. So part of this whole redemption aspect is repentance. You know, we can ask God to forgive us for our sins, but repentance, true, honest, and earnest repentance is valuable. We so often think, let me rephrase this. I've talked to a lot of people who say that repentance is easy. I've sinned. I'm sorry. I won't do it again. That's repentance. That is not repentance. That's I'm sorry I got caught. I have a heart issue, and I need to work on that. Repentance is blood, sweat, and tears. God, I have a sin pattern in my life, and I do not want to do this anymore. It is going to take everything in me to do it, but God, I also need you to come alongside of me. because I can't do it in my own strength, in my own power. I need you, God, to help me move forward, to get away from it. And boy, people don't want to go down that road. People love their sin. They honestly do. It's crazy. Psalm 51. You know, King David's talking about his whole situation with Bathsheba. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. David got it. In this moment, he was repentant. He was broken. He trusted God, and he was willing to let God do whatever he had to do in his life. Why? Because he lost his first love. He lost his first relationship, which was with God. He was feeling a void, a space away from God. And when you're spiritually stuck, don't you feel a void from God? You're stepped away from him. You're like that guy sitting on the side of the road going. But David knew, because of God's character, that if he was repentant and he was willing, he could move forward. He was self-reflective. He looked at himself and he said, I am broken in this area. I need God to fix it. And that is incredibly important for us. Those two verses there express David's love for God. What are your daily expressions of love for God? That's a pretty interesting question, isn't it? I'm going to go down a little bit further to Psalm 51, 9 through 12. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your spirit, Holy Spirit, from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David recognized God's authority in his life. Hide your face from my sins is what he's saying. Hide your face from everything I've done. God, please let me just have closeness to you again. And there's only one way you can do that. You can't see the things in my life that I have done. Just wash them away, Lord. Make me clean. Make me righteous. Bring me into relationship with you again, Lord. David wanted a pure heart. He wanted a redo. He wanted a mulligan, right? Don't we all love the mulligan when we go play golf or mini golf? It's a reset. It's probably the greatest reset of all time, is when God restores us. When we go to God and we have this type of a heart, it brings back a better connection because you know where you've been and you've lost it, but now you know where you are. And that relationship with Christ is so important. That relationship with God, for David's case. David was seeking, at least I believe one of the things that David was seeking was the joy that he had at the moment of salvation. Do you guys remember that moment you gave your heart to the Lord? You remember that moment that was so special, that was kind of epic? I mean, I can't forget mine because it was pretty wild. God did amazing things that day that I said, yes, Lord, and that I was willing. Repentance is a realization that God is the authority in our lives. And we need to be willing to let that happen. Repentance is not always easy. putting God first in our lives is not always easy. But we need to. So when you're spiritually stuck sometimes, and you've done everything you can do, what do? When you can't hear him, and you can't move forward, and you don't want to move back? There's only one thing you can do. Wait on the Lord and praise him. There are times in our lives when we are doing life that we become basically drowned in the world we live in. And there's only one thing you honestly can do, and that is to wait on the Lord for him to make the move, for him to give you a word of inspiration or a word of knowledge, for him to open up doors. So often in our lives, we like to open the doors ourselves. Nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. And what do? We create chaos in everything around us when we're waiting for God. Carla, you're laughing. Why is that? So when we wait on the Lord and we praise him, it is a form of submission to him. If you want to be unstuck, submit to God. Psalm 40, verses 2 through 5. I waited patiently on the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see the fear of the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. The Casting Crowns has a song called Praise You in This Storm. Now, Jerry and I have been in this church now 15, 16, 17. We've been here a while. And we have seen storms come in many of our lives. Storms, and you've seen storms come through Jerry's life and my life. We've seen storms in Pastor Ray's life. One of the things I love about this church is people do praise. And there is a time to praise for conflict. There's a time to praise for trial and tribulation. There's a time to praise when things are difficult. And there's nothing else you can do. You need to praise. Because waiting and praising God is truly a form of trusting him. One of the best forms of trusting him. Will we trust God to do what God wants to do in our life? Or will we trust God to just be there when I go home to be with him? That's a tough question. Because your salvation is more than just the promise of eternal life. Your salvation is about your whole life and the walk and the impact of those around you. Being spiritually stuck pulls you away from those options, those opportunities, and keeps you from the wholeness that God has for you. The truth is, when we praise and when we trust, it shatters things around us that hold us back. It ain't easy. It's not easy at all. But we have to. So when we're trusting and we're praising God, there's something else we can do. We can help others and serve. What? I have all this garbage going on in my life. My life's a wreck. My life's miserable. And you want me to go serve? Why not? What does service do? It takes your mind off of some of the things that you have going on, first of all. And second of all, it brings to front community. It brings to front relationship. I have watched several times when people have been in conflict and they've had issues where when they went out and they served, they had the person that they were serving next to, oh, I've gone through that, or I have a word for you. And the breakthrough came through the service, not through any means that the other person thought was going to happen. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Service is absolutely important to our life as Christians. If you're spiritually stuck, it could be an area. There's lots of things, not necessarily serving in this church, but there's food pantries that need people. There's people all over this county that need help. There's neighbors that you have that need help. This church needs help building buildings. See Mark Brown, he can help you out. And that was a shameless plug. There are things in this community, there's things in this church, there are people that just need maybe somebody to come talk to them. That's a form of service. You don't have to be an expert. But service brings God's love. Service puts other people's needs before your needs. So that's humility and being humble. And so I'm going to mess with you a hair because that's kind of me and I like to do that a little bit. How many of us know the percentage that we're supposed to tithe, right? 10%, right? We're supposed to tithe. What if every believer tithed 10% of their time to God? 2.4 hours a day was tithed to God to serve, to pray, to worship. Do you think it would make an impact? Think about that. We have a hard time getting people to spend 2 to 4 minutes a day in prayer or in reading a devotion. In service to other people, it's not about you. It's about God's kingdom. And I promise you, there's rewards out there that you can't even imagine. You know, most of you know that Jerry and I were never able to have children. And it's okay. God's worked through us and he's helped us understand better. But you know one of the really cool things is when a youth comes up to us or they graduate or they come to us years later and they say, you know, thank you. You two were the most stable parents that I ever had. That scares me, but, you know. But, you know, that's a reward, folks, that you can actually pour into people and help change their lives. You can bring positivity. You can bring goodness. Everybody likes to just to donate money because that's easy. Time is the most precious gift you have. Time is something that God gave you that you can never get back. And so service is extremely important in our lives. And when you're stuck and you're having difficulties, it's even more important. I don't know. I love serving. It makes me feel good. I know the Father loves it. It's not about doing all the good works and the good deeds, but it's truly about just helping people and having that heart for people. The sixth thing I have here that people have difficulties with when they're stuck is we need to walk by faith, not by sight, right? The world is crumbling. It's a perceived, whatever that's going on, they can perceive that as a problem. They can perceive things, and our perceptions can deceive us into believing things that are false. So we need to walk by faith. Sometimes we need to just buckle down and say, no, I'm not going to accept that. And we're going to move forward in Christ. And we're going to accept the things that Christ has for us. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith, not by sight. Many people walk by seeing. I tell the youth, I tell the young adults, seeing is not believing. Believing allows you to see. Your belief in God will allow you to move forward and see things, right? Doesn't Scripture say that? That an unbeliever can't even read the Bible and fully understand it, but a believer can. There is a spiritual understanding that goes forward in our lives when we walk by faith. You know, I live a crazy world, and you know, some people struggle with some of the things that I deal with because of dealing with the demonic stuff and all that. I can honestly tell you there are times when I get those icky feelings, and I stand there firm in the Lord, and I stand and I say, Lord, you know what's going on here, and I believe you have the authority to take care of it. And it goes away. Now, what is that? That could be my brain, you know, whatever. It could be spiritual. I'm not sure. But I walk by faith, not by sight. So many people want an answer right away, right? So they want to, they do that, what I talked about before. They open doors, they push whatever buttons they need to. They want the answer now. My friend waited 17 years before he saw my salvation. He prayed for me for 17 years. Think about that. We can't get people to pray for 7 days sometimes. 17 years, faithfully praying. Lord, bring salvation to Mark. Doesn't have to be a massive prayer. But it was a small prayer. He walked by faith, not by sight. He saw all the other stuff I was doing. But he walked by faith. And that's huge. We do have to realize that sometimes there is demonic oppression out there. And we need to have that faith to walk through it, because we need to push that back. And the only one that has the authority to do that is Jesus. It's not our power, not our abilities. It's God's abilities. And we truly need to trust him in that. If you've not seen the demonic stuff rise, it is coming. And it is, we're starting to see more and more of it. But that's for a different day and a different message. So The last part here that I have is we do not always need to understand. How many of us have been through situation after situation after situation, and you go, I don't understand? We in America want to understand everything. We in America live in this Greek mindset that says, well, we can solve it with science, we can solve it with math, we can solve it with this, and so we want an answer now. Just give me an answer. Give me an answer. And the truth is, you can't. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What is that saying to us is take you out of the equation and trust God. We like to mess up God's plans frequently. I told God a long time ago, I said, Lord, I know you want me to be a pastor, and I was going through it. I went to Jerry, and I said, I think the Lord wants me to go to DSOM to become a pastor, and she went, what? Something like that. Then I had to pick her up off the floor. No, just kidding. It was a challenge. Lord, I don't know what your plan is for me. But whatever it is, I'll do it. I put my head down and said, yes, Lord. I didn't understand. I don't even to this day understand everything he wants me to do. But I'm willing. I'm willing to trust that he has something for me to do. I'm willing to trust that there is more in my life that God wants to do. I'm willing to trust that God can use somebody as broken and as battered and as messed up as I am to help other people. He ain't got to be perfect. You just got to be willing. We'll pass that. So we just need to trust God in everything that we need. Logic does not solve every issue, even though we like to believe that it will. Logic is sometimes the most illogical. And sometimes people just rely way too much on their brain power and not enough on the simplicity of faith, right? God tells us that faith is as simple, a child can believe it. It's so simple that a child can believe it. Isn't it really true? It's simple for a child to believe that faith is as simple as, okay, God, I love you, you love me, you died on the cross for me, you were raised from the dead, cool, I have everlasting life, and you're my Savior. It's that simple. But boy, we like to make it a big intellectual mess. So if you're spiritually stuck today, I hope this encourages you. If you have problems in your life, I hope this encourages you too. Kind of the last slide, just to kind of recap. Let God search your heart. Let him look inside of you for who you are and the problems that you're facing, and let him talk to you and tell you what's going on. Because when you're letting God search your heart, you're definitely vulnerable. Trust God to uncover your sins and seek forgiveness for the things that you have done, and offer forgiveness to those that have offended you. Walk in repentance. Walk away from sin and walk toward God in every aspect of your life. Wait on the Lord and praise him. That's the toughest one. Waiting is not our forte in America. It's not my forte, I can tell you that. I'd like to deal with stuff right on. Helping people or serving can change your life and change your perspectives on the things around you. And I encourage that wholeheartedly. Please serve people. Walk by faith, not by sight. Your faith is yours. Do you want to see God do amazing things in your life? Then walk it out by faith. Ask God to give you more. He'll give you a little, and as you move forward, he'll give you a little more, and he'll give you a little more and a little more. Next thing you know, you got a mountain of stuff that God's gotten you doing behind you. Walk by faith. Sight can deceive you. And we do not always need to understand everything that's going on. We just need to trust God. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. Let him work out his plans. Just be a willing servant to trust him and to do the things that God has asked you to do. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, as we prepare for tithes and offerings, Lord, I just pray that your spirit would bless the tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for all of the finances. We thank you for all of the time. We thank you for all of the blessings you have bestowed upon this body. Lord, we honor you and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name. Let's just take a few minutes. We'll do tithes and offerings. And